On Monday, we try to get a conversation going around the family table, family matters, work issues. You know, there was a time not too long ago when the emergence of the two-income household, moms and dads working, was actually seen as a triumph for gender equality. Maybe it put a little more cash in the family piggy bank, but these days, a two-income house struggle to make ends meet just as much as any other household. Doesn't matter if you have two incomes, you're still struggling. And it turns out that many moms are getting mad about all this. Mad moms. And joining us to talk about mad moms as an economic or at least sociological indicator is our friend Jeremy Adam Smith, author of the new book Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. And also joining us is regular Takeaway contributor Lisa Belkin. Lisa writes the New York Times parenting blog Motherload. Lisa, Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, Jeremy, what evidence is there that moms are mad, and does it just have to do with the money problems?
Well, most recently in January, Parenting Magazine released a poll that showed that quite a few mothers were pretty fed up with their husbands. You know, for example, 40% said they're mad at dad because he can't seem to multitask, which is a kind of essential parenting skill. 30% said they can't get enough help with chores. Although what I think is interesting about the survey is that it also shows that if 30% say they don't get enough help with chores, 70% say they are getting enough help, or at least that they're satisfied with the division of labor.
The glass is more than half full. Is that what you're trying to say there?
That's right. Well, I would actually say that that's the real source of the anger, is that, you know, when families are surrounded by seemingly positive examples and the grass looks greener on the other side, and, you know, dads... the mom is measuring the dad against other dads, and the dad is measuring himself against other dads, then that can create a lot of feelings of inadequacy and anger.
Well, that's an interesting theory. Lisa, as a wife and mother, first of all, do you think you've got a raw deal here, and are other women sharing that opinion?
Oh, I hear from the other women a lot. And actually, I think the measuring thing is right, but I would phrase it a little differently, which is I think that women are measuring themselves against both their mothers and their fathers. They're doing their mom's job and they're doing dad's job. If they're working outside the home and bringing in an income, they're their father's. And then they come home and they feel this obligation to be their old-fashioned mother, who may or may not have ever really existed, and bake cookies. And then you've got dad, who's comparing himself to his dad, and he's feeling pretty good about it. But mom's looking over at him and saying, yeah, and I'm still chasing two role models here. And there is. There's a lot of anger. If any time I write about this on the blog, things pop. People complain.
I wonder if that's an argument for this being a statistical anomaly, maybe something of a transition for this generation, and that younger women are going to less be comparing themselves to these unachievable role models, and that things are moving towards a kind of an equaling out in the sense of anger.
I think there is definitely a change already happening. I think part of it is there's been this wave of complaining, legitimate some of it just sort of got out of control, and it was listened to. I think that men got that women felt overwhelmed. I also think that people like Jeremy came along and started saying, yeah, but we have a point of view too. Here's how it looks from the male side. We are also struggling with this, and that, interestingly, is the conversation I'm starting to hear more of very recently.
So sensitive, Jeremy. Get a little of some of these numbers, okay? 46% of moms get irate with their husbands once a week or more, okay?
Yeah. Lots of moms.
Really, I know. 40% are angry that their husbands seem clueless about the best way to take care of kids. And 40% of moms, you sort of alluded to this, are mad that dad can't multitask. Yikes.
Yeah. Well, you know, so yes, absolutely. That is an issue. And, you know, the more I learn about human psychology, the more I think it's a miracle that we ever see eye to eye on anything.
Well, and the more you learn about human psychology, it comes from your laboratory at home, right?
Yes. Yeah. And also the laboratory where I work. I work at the UC Berkeley Greater Good Science Center in the Child Study Center. And, you know, I spend a lot of time talking with psychologists about this. And, you know, I think what really happens in a lot of homes is that, and this certainly happened in my home, you know, a couple of years ago, my wife and I started to develop, I think, a lot of conflict. And what happened, and one of the things I learned is that this is typical. After people become parents, conflict shoots way up. You know, a number of studies have found that about 2/3 of couples during the first 5 years of their child's life will experience more conflict than they did before. And in my family's case, and I think this is true for a lot of families, what really started to happen was that both my wife and I were working, and we were both feeling a lot of pressures and demands on our time. and empathy between us really started to break down. And I think that,
let me just unpack that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Empathy broke down in the sense that you both were sort of silently feeling unappreciated together, but independently.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, when you become a parent, it becomes very hard to talk about serious issues that you're facing as a couple, because especially if you're working parents, because you're either at work or you're at home with the child and you're not discussing these things with the child. And then it becomes very important for couples to set aside time for themselves as a couple, as romantic partners and as life partners, and talk and talk about the serious things, but also talk about
right.
the good things and make time for themselves.
Well, Lisa Belkin, take us out with the idea that maybe on Motherload, your blog, there are some insights being shared by women and couples on how to actually do this, to get back to the empathy once you've entered this conflict zone when the kids arrive.
Well, I have great faith in the next generation, which is talking about things like equally shared parenting.
Giving up on us, huh?
Well, on me, yeah. But the idea that you can share everything, that, you know, everyone is entitled to an equal share of the childcare, yes, and the housework, yes, and bringing in the income, yes, but also personal time, you know, relaxation time, that this is both spouses, both parents' responsibility. And at least in polls and on paper and theoretically, this generation says that that's what they're seeking. It'll be interesting to see what happens when, you know, reality catches up with the theory.
Well, in the it'll be interesting department for both of you, my family's about to get a great test. My wife is due with our fifth child in December.
Congratulations.
But our second set of twins is 8 years old. Our first set of twins is 11. So it's been 8 years since we last did this together. First time, I think I have no memory of it. We were on autopilot. Second time, I think we tried to get a little better. This is going to be a real test of our ability to share. Any insight and any advice, Lisa and Jeremy?
Oh, you've got your own laboratory going on there.
I know, exactly.
I think you need to come on once a week and report about it.
I need to get an NSF grant. Jeremy, give us the last word.
Well, division of labor is very important, but a lot of studies by Arlie Hochschild and Angela Trethewey and other researchers have found that just as important is expressing gratitude for what your partner does and cultivating an attitude of gratitude in your home. And when you do that, couples tend to be a lot happier, individuals are happier, and the relationships tend to last longer. And also, I think it's good for the kids.
Oh, thank you. You hear that, honey? I'm so, so grateful for what you're going through. We're going to take some really good data in our laboratory for all of you. Jeremy Adam Smith, author of the new book, Daddy Shift, How Stay-at-Home Dads, Breadwinning Moms, and Shared Parenting Are Transforming the American Family. And also, Lisa Belkin, takeaway contributor, writes the New York Times parenting blog, Motherload. Thanks to you both.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.